side it is to see your heads bowed over the scriptures and your little pens moving and to know that you're having some time with Jesus. Isn't it extraordinary, 12 minutes or 15 or whatever it was?
Felt like two.
Yeah, I know. But the enemy tells me that I have to get an hour that's, you know, that nobody can touch. I have to have an hour, and I have to sit at a desk, and I have to have my concordance and all this. Mm-hmm. In fact, at Starbucks, you can pull out your little New Testament and scribble away, and it just turns into a sanctuary. Have you experienced that? In fact, I was in the Starbucks in McLean yesterday or the day before, and I recognized faces from different churches. They were ladies sitting around. It was so cool. It was just wonderful. God's got everybody stashed away somewhere. I hope and pray that you got something that you, at least it's a little nugget or a little bite that you thought, I wonder if I chew on that a little more, what that will yield. Because sometimes I go in and all I get are questions. What does that mean? What's a holy place? What are the lions? What does that mean? But if you leave those questions there, God will see to it that you get the answers. So it's a running dialogue. So is anybody's heart just going like this? Okay, Karen, share whatever you
want. Well, first I look at it and I'm like, oh, Betsy, I mean, this is not a fun one. Because it was hard for me to figure out what was going on for a minute. And I was like, oh. And then I read it again, and then I read it again, and then I heard, don't worry about getting it right. Don't worry if you don't know what it means. Don't worry if you're wrong. Just read it and see what's there. And so I wrote this. The world is so hard and often so lonely and frightening, but there will come a time in which I will get to journey on a road full of love and goodness with kind and good and loving people who are as excited as I am. As I continue walking toward God Himself, my heart will overflow with joy and ease and excitement beyond anything I've experienced on this earth. And with others who love God, we will run into His arms. There is that place that I have been yearning for. It is an actual place. Now I can't see. that I will go to. Sorrow will be no more. Joy will overtake me. Everlasting joy, not fleeting joy, but everlasting joy, joy that won't go away, joy that will consume and inhabit all of me. Gladness and joy will overtake me like a crashing wave, and sorrow and all the heartache and loss and fear and doubt and weariness that sometimes consumes me will not only leave, but it will flee away, leave me furiously, fast and permanently, never to return, and I will be filled with joy and peace and trust and love. And surrounded by the rich and comforting company of others filled with the same.
Praise God. Glad you kept on reading.
Yeah, me too.
You know, that's what we do here, is what this verse is about. We come together and remind ourselves that we are on this journey together. We are pilgrims together. And the world out there is full of lions and unholy ones wanting to come and snatch us off the road. But He guarantees we can't be snatched off the road. And we will come with singing. Zion is just, you know, heaven, the throne of God. And we're on our way. So this is about today, as well as some promise to Isaiah, or even where the Lord took Karen, which is the our ultimate destination.
And I thought of the world that my kids are growing up in. It's so hard.
I know.
It's so hard. And there's so little kindness and acceptance and ease in that world, and then to get to a place that's different.
Yeah, apparently it's always been that way, and so the Lord needed to comfort them too. You had another Carmen?
Karen and I are always the first to speak in here, but
teachers are grateful.
I'm sorry. So I had never seen this verse before.
Yeah,
that's
no, it hadn't been in there until today.
That is the most interesting thing about the Bible. I had never seen it before. But as I sat there and as I pondered on this, I felt so thankful. I felt so thankful. I saw that highway, and I thought of all these ladies that are here that are on that journey with us. And I just feel so overwhelmed by that grace, by that opportunity to be here. And it's just that, and I think part of my journey before is when I would, you know, when you first start out, everybody doesn't know, but I think when God showed me that highway, he just showed me that we're fast-tracking it, and there are all those side roads on the side of a highway that maybe a lot of people that even in our own families don't know, and I'm so grateful that I'm on that highway, and no speed, Autobahn, just going.
Yeah. I just thought of, you know, if we're all together, we'd get to use the HLD.
I was
praying for that this morning.
There won't be fines or penalties anyways.
So. I know, Becky.
So there's this one little encouraging image there's a lot, obviously, that comes to our hearts when we read this, but you go back to your memories, and I'm reminded of the wind in the willows and walking through the wild wood and the stoats and the weasels and how, you know, as you're walking down that highway, that along the way, there are people who have a little lantern that light the next step for you. And they're getting it from God, obviously. Mm-hmm. And all of you all are people holding a little lantern. And you may know that one thing that God taught you that is the one thing that other person needs to know. And you don't even know what the connection is or how important that might be to that one person. So I just love the idea of the company of people walking in that direction and to take heart that we each have a little light that somehow God has given us in our little place on this road. Anyway.
That's lovely. That's lovely. Willie, did you have something you wanted to say?
No.
Only
here, beautiful.
Well, we love your company, brother.
Thank you.
Okay, Jackie?
I was just sort of struck that practically each line said shall.
Shall.
And shall means
it will.
It is, it's not maybe, it's not in doubt. And this is happening. And so that seemed to be every line practically. Maybe do other Bibles have other ways of expressing shall, or is it all shall?
Mine has will.
Mine has will.
Will. That's in the NIV, so.
But the Holy Spirit wanted you to understand shall.
This is
by the way, the word hope in the Bible.
It's my dog.
Oh, how sweet. Well, so when we read anything about hope, we can think about Rebecca's dog. But the deal is
hope
is not a verb or it's a noun. We use it. We say, I hope so, meaning I wish so. Or it sure would be nice if. Hope in the Bible is that thing which is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. He's the God of hope, and that's a hope. Mm-hmm. That's not a wish. It's a certified covenantal thing, the redeemed. Mm-hmm. If we go, look, I can't get there on my own ticket, Jesus, can I go on yours? That's what makes us eligible to walk on that thing, and then to start experiencing redemption, what it is to turn into a good person. And a joyful person with singing on our heads and joy on our heads. Yes, please.
Well, when I was reading this, I didn't write a lot, but it just struck me how tired this was. I mean, I've read this before, but not in ages. But this type of promise is in the Bible in many places.
All over the place.
And you found it, you know, similar type of thing in the Wind and the Willows. It's, you know, it's exactly what St. Louis was saying in Narnia, walk into the next world. So I kept thinking of, you know, of Narnia and all that, but it's the fact that it's there, you see it over and over again, it's similar to this, you know, is what's so helpful to me, because the more you hear it, see it, find it in different areas, the more real it is.
Amen.
So it's comforting that you're really young.
Well, you know what we were talking about with the, where the truth is established by two or three witnesses, you know, two or three stories that are the same. The Bible has an integrity. They're limited plots, finite plots in here. And one of them is, this is crummy, but we're on our way somewhere else, and we're going to get there, and there's no sighing, and there's no, you know, that begins in the beginning, and it's at the end, and it's all the way through, and it's, and when you just have an idea that that's the plot, as you say, every time you run into it, God doesn't want us to miss it, because it's really true, and he wants to establish it, and that's the reason we have Narnia, and we have Wind in the Willows, and we have the movies that we have, because that's a human yearning that he's put in us. And his word is covenantal. This is the truth. And so so when you start running into something over and over and over again, like be worried for nothing, that's all over the place. You go, oh, okay. If you didn't get it this way, I'll show it to you this way. Because he is the teacher of all teachers. He knows the way you learn. And he'll, if it's visual, he'll give it to you visually. If it's orally, that's the way you'll get it. If it's kinetic, he can do it because he invented it. Okay, Tamika.
Oh, I thought of it in two ways. One, the long-term way that Karen was speaking about, but I also thought of it as like, when I read of it, I thought about the peace that passes all understanding, like thinking about that this is a place that you can go to if you... Mm-hmm. Anytime you want, if you can find that peace, like when I was reading through it, it's saying like no lions, there's no guards, there's no beast, there's no evil, and I really got stuck on the whole redeemed part and redemption, you know, being about confessing, being honest in your confession of your sins and who you are, and then asking for forgiveness, and that people's pride or a denial gets in the way of that. But there's a peace if you can be honest and present, and then ask for forgiveness, and you can experience that highway, that holy way, kind of anytime.
That's it exactly, because it's not a place, is it? It's not a final place. It is the way. While you're on it, you're experiencing these things. Janie?
What I finally heard was the highway is him.
There you go. That's the bottom line on everything in this Bible, and we're going to talk about that next week. Everything is Jesus. You heard that joke, the little kid in the Sunday school class, and I've forgotten the joke, but he just told his little friend, Jesus. Just answer Jesus. Everything is Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the door. He is the shepherd. And
I read off that a lot, but two things I want to share quickly. I mean, overall, it's hope, but I also found challenge. Only the redeemed will be there. Mm-hmm. That speaks to our need for evangelism, and, you know, we want our loved ones to be there. You know, Jesus came that none should perish. And so it speaks to that hard place of, you know, division.
Exactly, and that's the thing. If we have experienced it, then that cannot be argued with. And we can say to those who are living out in that unkind world, I have found it. I have found him. He has found me, and I am living in a different kind of place. And we can say that whether they receive it or not. We don't have to get all churned up and figure out some evangelistic program. We can say, I lived out there, and now I'm living here, and I love you, and I want you to have what I'm finding. And you don't have to have all the answers. You can say to them, go to this scripture. And I dare you. I dare you to see, to taste and see, if God speaks to you and if what he says is good. And that's the thing, is our hearts. That's why I'm crazy and running around and just talking too much today, is because I so want everybody to get this. Mm-hmm. I just care because it changed my life. Yes, Willie.
I would say something, only a small thing, because I cannot speak very well in English, but I would say something. If you believe in Jesus, God is so beautiful, so everything will be nice with you. Everything. You will find good people in your life. When I arrived here 33 years ago, I know my cousin, but I know many people here. And then I start to And I go to church always. When I was in Lima, Peru, always I grew up in Catholic family. Mm-hmm. So I go to church every week. But when I came here, first things I asked my cousin, I said, what is the church? And she said, no, I'm a Mormon. I said, no, I need to go Catholic. No, she said, I will take you to the Mormon. Then I take with her, and then later on I meet people in there, mm-hmm. and I say, I ask what church I can go, and then I move with the family in Bethesda, Peruvian family, but Mitchell lived so far from here, in Potomac. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So it's very difficult for me to move from Potomac to find a church and everything. So anyway, but and then later I start to find a good people for work, for do all my life, and good people. I don't have a good bad experience in my life here, mm-hmm. but it's nothing. God wants me to go my way, no? alone, because they're not good people. But then I found a good people, and I always say, thank you, Jesus, for everything you do for me. Because amen. God is so beautiful.
Amen.
God is so beautiful.
Amen.
See, I promise to you.
Thank you, Will.
This is a man on the way.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for sharing, Wesley. Oh, excuse me, I think Marjorie had her hand up first and then wanted to say.
I don't know if anybody over Christmas saw the movie The Theory of Everything by Stephen Hawkins, the physicist. But I thought when you were talking, Betsy, that one of the things that I thought was really interesting about it, he was a total scientist and a physicist, and if those of you don't know Stephen Hawkins, he's written many books about the creation and whatnot, but his wife was extremely religious. And the challenge for him was really science or God, science or God. And he was supposed to only live 2 years with ALS, and he's now still alive.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting to kind of the debate. You think you're going into the movie learning all about science, but it's really a very beautiful spiritual journey, and how this woman and her faith, his now ex-wife, kept him alive through her faith.
Well, thanks for telling about that. I didn't know that aspect of it.
Yes, at the end of the book, at the end of the movie, my son comes out of it. He's not particularly religious at all. He goes, well, I thought it was interesting when they got into the debate between God and science, and there is the God still, there is the guy still alive, so you have to believe there is a God.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, and you didn't even have to make him say that. You didn't even write that out for him to say, imagine. Rosalie,
I'm rarely at a loss for words, but when I read this, I found myself drawing instead of writing.
Yes, I wanted to say.
And so the first thing that came to my mind was, it's an open road for my side, says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He's just calling us, and on this path we'll find peace and safety and trust and love. And I was reminded that my daughter walked the Camino, which is that pilgrimage between France and Spain.
So did Jackie. Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about how little they take with them, mm-hmm. and how they rely on one another. And they're not always the same people together. And they create a community on the way.
Yeah.
And all of these images, and I drew my little stick figures all singing. Mm-hmm. With crowns and joy. Mm-hmm. It was just so strange to me because I'm such a verbal person. I'm always writing words.
I've got a pounce on this. This is so, you know, Oswald Chambers says that imagination is the greatest gift that God gives us. The capacity not to imagine and make things up necessarily, but to visualize, to image things, like what am I going to wear today? Oh, I think that scarf will, yeah, that's where I'll look. Everybody's got that. Okay, we ask the Holy Spirit to anoint that, meaning, you know, like if I anointed Nancy, it would be a sign of just special blessing and intensity on that thing that we're praying about, okay? That's all that means. So to ask him to anoint your imagination, and you will find that whole areas of your mind and your brain and your thinking and your feeling, which have maybe been very secondary. The Lord showed me one time I was living up here in the library, and I needed to live here in the living room. And so the integration of everything that's been like C.S. Lewis says, you know, a spell of uncreativity has come upon us. You will find, you will see things. And that's, we're going to talk next hour, or if you go home and you read a gospel story, Ignatius is credited with this way of reading. Mm-hmm. But it's just like camera action. It's you see it, not as somebody else did the movie, but you see it. The Lord will show you. He will give you the line readings. And you will get stuff. People say to me after I teach, I didn't get that. I read all that. I didn't get that. Well, no, but you could have gotten your own stuff. I'm just sharing the things that I got that will be, I hope, universal enough so that, you know, my little fragment will, stimulate your little fragment and we'll go with it. But do pray, and don't be afraid of your imagination. You can say, Lord, let it be holy. Let it be your sanctuary. You know, all my capacities. Come in and let me see as you did. What an adventure. I'm so glad.
But of all the time we had, this is all I wrote. I choose you, Lord. I will walk the path you have designed for me.
I am yours, your obedient servant. Let me be an example of your best plan for me.
Hallelujah. And this girl's story is true. That's a true story. That's it. That's the whole testimony. Yes, Helen.
The basic what I got was, it says, and will crown their heads, with gladness and joy, and joy will overtake them and try and sign and flee away. I got, basically, I was just, before Christmas, I was reading there's a study I did from Stanford, the psychology of happiness or joy or whatever, and there's all these things that make you happy, happy girl, whatever. And I was thinking that, only God can not even give us the kind of joy that will make us happy or joyful. He just, takes the essence and plunks it, down. There's no, you have to do this to get joyful. There's no venue to get joyful. He just gives you, period, bam, joy and gladness.
Yeah.
To me, there's nothing else on this world can actually just do that. There's no venue to get there through or anything. You're just blessed with it. Just bam.
It's the Holy Spirit. When we read about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, what does it say? Joy, love, peace, all that stuff. He's a person. You say, come in, he comes in, and you're absolutely right. Can't earn it, can't really lose it unless it's stolen, and you'll learn the devil's tricks, so he can't steal. Oh, yes, I'm coming over there because I sense something very important. Thank you, Helen. That was wonderful. Yes. Yes.
There are a lot of different things that kind of stood out to me, but those last two lines, gladness and joy will overtake them and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Overtake is such a powerful word because there's nothing in us, we can't stop it. It's all-consuming, it just comes over us, and it doesn't matter how much sorrow or sighing we feel like we have. Those aren't inanimate here. They're real things, and they run away,
Yes.
It's like that gladness and joy, it scares them, and they run away because the gladness and joy is so powerful and so all-consuming that there's no room for that sorrow or sighing of the human nature that's just naturally in us, It's like we always naturally go to that place, it feels like, but on this highway with God, there's so much gladness and joy that there's nothing those things that are naturally within us can do to stay. They're forced out by all that gladness and joy.
That is so profound. And we're getting a theme here, as you can see. It's the same thing, the verse that says perfect love casts out all fear. What that means is the more of Jesus you have in you, the more it is expelled because there's not room for it. And I didn't want to, this would have been rude because I had to scramble here, but there's a place in Deuteronomy you can look up, and it talks about the blessings will, and it uses the word overtake again. It says, if you do it my way, if you go on this way, you won't be able to stop it. People will be nice to you whether you want them to be or not. It will bless you. You'll feel good. It'll, you know, not familiar, you know, crisis. But it really will be. Oh, I'm so excited. I have goosebumps all over me. I know. Woof! I guess the thing to do now is to pray. And one more, time for one more. Yes, do we have one more? Okay. We're here. The lovely Psalms is. Oh, another picture. Oops. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's beautiful. It's a whole long road with, like, what is that? An arch? What do you call that?
An arch.
An arch with ivy and vines and stuff and beautiful trees along the way. You are Miss what Soames?
Bateman.
Yes. Well done, Bateman. This is beautiful. And I'm sure you saw it in color. And if we had the proper utensils, we would. This is what you can do at home. You can color. You can read. You can pull out your Wind of the Willows. You can turn on the music that you like and. This is the time. Do not let this be stolen from you. And when you get home, when you read these other things, this is a place you're entering into. It's the Holy of Holies. And the thing is, it's portable. Mm-hmm. You get established in there, and you go out, and He goes with you. And you can be having this happen. And the more of this word, the more of His mind and character that you put into yourself, the more it infuses and transforms you. You can be having the best time. And I got to confess at the end here, the enemy was robbing me of this for like the past month. I was really fighting depression because all I was doing was teaching. I wasn't having these times where I just sat and ate chocolate with him. And I thought, well, if I'm going to teach this, I can't be that grossly hypocritical. I better try it a couple of times before I tell them about it. And it's turned me around, hasn't it? Hope and I know each other and see each other frequently. And this is, it's like a new lease. And so I'm so glad we got to share this today. Will you pray with me? And then next week we'll do more, a little bit more, okay? And have big adventures and share them with people if you can, okay? Heavenly Father, this is wonderful. Jesus, you died for this. That our communication could be reestablished and even better than ever. Lord, I pray again, addict our hearts to fellowship with you. And we just commit ourselves to you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to have your way in this central part of our Christian lives. We thank you for all the treasures that you gave to each one of us and that we were able to share together. Lord, we ask you to seal all that in our hearts so that we grow. Each new truth exponentially opens up all the things we already had in our treasure chest. So, Lord, be with us. Continue to bless us. We're so grateful. We love you and we want you to be glorified so that others see that we are walking a way that they want to be on. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. 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 Thank you all so much. Just thank you for doing this.
Thanks, Betsy.